freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Ewert is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Power through the Alaska Airlines studio.
On Seattle Sports.
Well, we're going to do your manager.
That really worked that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen in Ballard.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Ewert and Mike Salk.
Hello!
All right, final hour here, Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710 and the Seattle Sports app as well. And all those podcast platforms, thank you for downloading and subscribing and finding us a little bit after our show is finished recording live here. But Shannon Dreyer joins us, and she has been every day from spring training. We don't actually allow Shannon days off here at the station. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you knew this, but Shannon's contractually obligated to work every day. And so it's been great having her on with us.
Multiple spots a day.
Yeah, that's nice. Shannon, thank you for never taking vacation or even weekends. It's really, it's big of you, and we appreciate it. It was quite the weekend. Dylan Moore, the bad news. We'll get to that in a moment. What else did you see so far this over the weekend?
Well, we saw him. We didn't see something yesterday, both that I think was very good for the now and the future. Of course, had the split squad, and just big tip of the cap to Gary Hill, who called the audible and said, you know what, we're taking the broadcast to surprise because we want to see Jared and Julio in the lineup against DeGrom. We'd also like to see Bryce Miller. And Bryce Miller was making his first Cactus League start, and he, of course, is most likely the next one up. His real prospect status has really jumped in the last year. And what was really great was Texas ran out their A lineup, and Bryce Miller did not have his best stuff, but he still survived. And it was just an incredible confidence boost for him to go out there and not have his 100-mile-an-hour fastball and not too worried about it. It's just that time of the spring. But to go out and see that his stuff, even not at 100% in March, was playing against the big leaguers. So that was fantastic. While that was going on, Robbie Ray was throwing four innings of nine strikeout ball in the main field in Peoria. And I think that he should be one of the talks of the camp, one of the more eye-opening performances, and somebody that I would say that if you're pointing to a couple of guys that could be big difference makers, Jared Kelnick obviously would be one if he comes through. If Robbie Ray continues what he has been doing in spring, not just the numbers, but the way the stuff has looked, the uptick in the stuff, the addition of the splitter, that's going to be significant for this team. So to me, those were kind of the biggest two things we saw.
How are old timers doing? I heard they moved into the house last night. Is that true?
Now the real stuff, right?
Yes. Yes. That's all good at the baseball stuff, but everybody wants to know about, you know, the good juicy stuff.
Bob, Dave, and Lefko all in your home down there in Arizona right now.
Yeah, when I left, Lefko was doing the Wordle. That's the thing with Lefko, and I guess your guys too, Justin and Maura, we did that. But it seems to be going okay. When Dave showed up, the convenience store did as well. We've got every Hostess product and every kind of chip fully imaginable on the dining room table. Not terribly healthy, but hey, I guess it's kind of vacation. Bob is surviving, handling everything just fine. I did see... Yeah, I did see the 3-pack of the sanitizer, the wipes that, you know, they went to the store and got those. But I think we're doing okay
when
there.
When you see that, do you get the sense that Bob is judging you and that he thinks you're filthy?
No, I think it's Bob. We've got plenty of them already in the house.
Yes. Hey, back to baseball. We'll shift. We'll bounce back and forth between the two. Back to baseball. Why is Jared Kelnick hitting lefties this spring as well as he's hitting them?
Oh, that's a good question. He's doing, I was taking kind of a closer look, and I have not, he kind of saved him till the end. Everybody talked to him at the beginning. I'm like, well, let's see how this all plays out. Then I'm going to have the big sit down with him. But, you know, obviously he went to work with everything that he did. What's really impressing me is he doesn't seem to have any problem with two strikes right now. He's connecting a lot more, and I was kind of watching a little bit, and I think that, you know, rather than trying to sell out all for power, I think that he is, you know, just kind of opening up a little bit. And I thought it was a two-strike approach, but then I saw it on everything. It's actually, it seems to be choking up a tiny bit on the bat as well. I just think he's just so much more under control in everything that he is doing at the plate, both physically and mentally. And it's paying off against both lefties and righties.
Shannon, credit to you, although it's a lousy thing to be right about. And we were asking you about concerns, and you went to Dylan Moore even a couple of weeks ago, and now it turns out that he's going to miss maybe even another month before he can start working out again with this oblique. So what do you think they do?
Well, first of all, I'm hoping it's not a month before he starts working out. It's probably a couple of weeks before he's really able to start swinging. So that if it was a month before he was working out, you'd be looking mid-May for a return, because he hasn't had a spring training. So he's going to need significant at-bats before he comes back. But hopefully he will be able to start swinging in a couple of weeks, and it won't be that long. But, yeah, it's interesting because, you know, the option right now would be to keep your eye on the waiver wire or see if you can work out a trade. But they are really kind of starting to move people around, try things out. And it looks like they're almost looking for an internal option right now. You know, the good news is J.P. Crawford is back in the lineup at shortstop today, and that's where I was most concerned, because it was more in the backup at short capacity. And so if J.P.'s out there, then you're just going to try and figure out what you're going to do in an emergency situation, and then the platoon situation at second base. And what I was just going to ask Scott, but he was telling another story and I didn't have time, but I don't understand why we have not seen Sam Haggerty at second base, because it would seem that he could step into that role. We saw him at short yesterday. Colton Wong is out for a few days. His wife just had a baby boy. And we still don't see him over there. So I'm thinking that perhaps he's not as much of an option there as you would think. So are they going to go with Wong against lefties and righties, or are they going to try to do something else there? Mason McCoy is a very nice defensive shortstop. You'll see him play quite a bit over the next week or so, and they'll probably take a look and see if maybe that's a possibility. You've had him at third. Suarez gets back today. But I find it next to impossible to believe that something's not going to happen between now and opening day. And I would have said that even before we had this news on Dylan Moore. But it is kind of curious that they really are kind of moving options around right now and almost giving the appearance that maybe they don't do something. Maybe they just wait and they fill it internally.
Well, time is ticking. I mean, this is the last full week of spring training, right? We're 10 days away, a week from Thursday from opening day. You know, I mean, does it feel that way? Do you feel some of that? And I know it's just the Monday of the final full week and everybody now back in the fold. Do you feel a little bit of the pace, a little bit of the urgency picking up, knowing that the trucks are leaving here next week?
Well, if you saw how many shoes I brought, yeah, I'm definitely feeling the urgency that the truck is leaving on the 23rd. I got to get a lot of stuff on that. It's going to be an interesting week, because now they're really going to start after the off day. That's always kind of the, you know, you draw the line there and then everything changes. The starters are going to be in games longer. The starting pitchers are going to be closer to, you know, 5-6 innings. And they're also going to start doing some things. And we were talking about this morning, but you haven't really seen them do too much with their defensive alignments in the infield. And they've kind of been holding off. They haven't been experimenting a lot like some teams have. And they've been kind of working on some data models. And they're going to apparently roll some things out after that off day on Tuesday and start doing things a little bit differently with the new rules and restrictions that they have. So that's going to look a little bit different too. But yeah, it's starting to roll, and add three night games, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's starting to feel like it's about time for these things to count.
More Shannon Dreyer shoes or afternoon show jeans? That's going to be
the debate this week.
Oh, well,
we're told one member of the crew has a lot of pair of jeans with him.
A lot of jeans.
You can investigate. Shannon, you're the reporter, not us. I mean, like, do your job, okay? Like, just do your job and do some investigation.
Don't divide. Don't cause any show issues or station problems, but, yeah, maybe do
a little investigation might be in order here. Maybe put that on salesports.com. I don't know.
Thanks, Shannon.
I'll see what I can do.
Bye, Shannon.
There she goes.
Yeah, I'm saying goodbye to you guys after that. Troublemakers.
No, she's sticking into the jeans right
now. I mean, she's got work to do.
She's a reporter.
I mean, she doesn't take any days off. It's time for her to do her job.
Six jeans for 6 days?
Seems like a lot in 85-degree heat. I don't know. That's just me. It seems like
how
overkill.
Do you think a certain afternoon host, based on that disinfectant wipes, do you think he washes his shower towel after every use?
Yeah, so I saw Orlovsky getting a lot of grief for this, right? So Orlovsky
30?
Said 20-ish. I think he said.
No, I think he went all the way to 30.
So a month. Once a month?
Yeah, once a month.
Ew.
Is that gross?
After a while, it doesn't dry. It gets milky.
Right. What's the right amount of how many days before you wash your towel?
Weekly.
Yeah.
That's a weekly? Minimum once a week.
Yeah, it's got to be weekly.
I wonder if Orlovsky doesn't go as long as he thinks he does, because my mom used to just steal my dad's towel and wash and put it back.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, I was just checking. I was just kind of curious.
How about you, Saul?
I was just kind of curious what you think. Anyway, need to know is next. It's Brock and Saul, Seattle Sports on 710.
I am an elitist.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Saul.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, let's start with the Seahawks, who've been awfully busy dealing with their biggest problem, and that was clearly the front lines of their defense. Four of their five moves in free agency to bring in guys from other teams have been on the defensive side of the ball, with only a center being on the offensive side. This was a priority for them, Brock, and good for them. It needed to be. They had a major problem on defense, not just last year, but the last few years. And they've gone out and brought in guys other than Jaron Reed, who are a lot younger than what we've seen in the past. A lot of guys in the 24 to 26 range, which seems telling to me.
Yeah, and it's telling that it's done at all three levels. Defensive line had two additions, as it needed to, and it's probably not done through the draft, and certainly they need a strength of numbers. So it was done at the second level, linebacker with Devin Bush. Once again, as you heard from KJ, cannot and will not be done, incomplete right now. But I think the most perplexing to the market, and I think to most people and fans, was a position of strength when it comes to, I don't know, experience in finances, safety. With three already, you tendered Ryan Neal, a couple $1 million as well. Ryan Neal, Jamal Adams, Pro Bowler Quandre Diggs, and you're going to add?
Seems like a lot.
2 years and $12 to $14 million for Julian Love, but he was their captain. He was their communicator. He is versatile. And you heard from KJ, if they keep Jamal and they go down that road and he can play and contribute, you're going to see Jamal Adams with this Julian Love addition a lot closer to the line of scrimmage more often than not.
We're still over a month away from the draft, Brock, so I am reserving my rights to, you know, I don't need to make any claims of what I want to see the team do. I'm not telling you yet what I want at number five, although I could be swayed in a lot of different directions. I think, however, I'm getting close to just flat out agreeing with your take on DeJuan Jones at number 20. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, the other one, number five, like, I can be swayed around quite a bit. I think that might be the best idea I've heard for number 20, because it makes you great on your offensive line. I think you're kind of swaying me on that one. Mm-hmm. I think that I'm not saying it yet, but I'm getting close to being definitive that that's what I want at the number 20 pick.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, the Mariners were all over the map yesterday, split squad game. They decided to take a lot of their best young players and bring them on the road to Texas to face Jacob DeGrom. Why? I think it was on purpose. I think they wanted to let Jared Kelnick go hit against the best. I think they wanted Julio and the rest of those guys to get a little view of a player that they're going to see a few more times this year, as now he is going to be in their division. Scott Servais doesn't sound wild about the fact that they're going to get more opportunities to see DeGrom.
Well, offensively, obviously, you know, Jared continues to have good springs, went about well. Our first look at DeGrom today was pretty good. You know, I'm sure we'll see a lot of him.
They were sitting 98-99 in the spring. Yeah.
Well, it was nice to see Kelnick take one of those 99-mile-an-hour fastballs on an 0-2 count and drive it for a triple, busting out of the box. That's definitely a good sign as he continues to do all the right things. On the other side of it, Dylan Moore, a mild grade 1 oblique strain, 2 to 4 weeks before he can even start work. Shannon Dreher telling us a few minutes ago that maybe that's going to just be too much for the Mariners, and at some point you're going to have to make a deal to bring somebody else in to help up the middle.
It may be. We'll see. I will say this. Kelnick's taken a lot of the high headlines, rightfully so, with his spring, but right there next to him, even more dominant, has been Robbie Ray. Mm. And I think this is a cool story, man. He's gotten paid. He's been a Cy Young Award winner. He's been around a lot of different organizations. Could have been very easy for him, and we have seen other big leaguers do this. Just kind of, I'll go through the motions. I'm a vet. I'm a pro. I don't need to go retrain. I don't need to go rework. I don't need to go reinvent myself. He went to work. He went to work in the weight room. He went to add horsepower. He's throwing 97 miles an hour. He's added a new pitch, and he has been, with 9 strikeouts yesterday, absolutely filthy in the desert.
I mentioned that he has an opt-out, Brock. It's after the 2024 season. So he is under contract with the Mariners this year and next year. And then he has an opt-out for the final 2 years of his deal. He's already scheduled to make $25 million each of those 2 years. So if he wants to make that worth its time, yeah, you're going to have to get back to being the player he was before he signed this contract. WBC Theater over the weekend, really incredible. I mean, that U.S.-Venezuela game was a blast to watch. Back and forth affair, incredibly intense, and players on both sides clearly and truly invested in it. I have really enjoyed this tournament.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
And then there was the Kraken, who did not play well. And I don't want to say any more about them right now. I'm very aggravated. I made it a point to watch that game, and it seemed like they didn't make it a point to show up for that game, and they got their butts kicked by an Edmonton team that is playing much better at hockey than they are right now.
Yeah, and Calgary is closing the gap. You're losing more ground and people to the people in front of you, and Calgary is closing some ground behind
don't
you.
Don't choke. That would be the worst choke job of this weekend, right?
This weekend, no, probably Purdue. Probably Mike Lefkoe's Boilermakers, who were scared to shoot a ball.
And definitely not what happened at the Valspar.
Oh, no.
As long as we're clear, that's not a choke. Didn't happen.
Nope.
Okay, good.
Didn't even notice that. Did notice March Madness and did notice Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. And I do have a question for you. That's everything you need to know.
All right. There it is. What's your question?
I think you can make a case that March Madness has never been better, and I think you can make a case March Madness has never been worse.
How so?
Never been worse because you don't know these teams year to year. When you and I, growing up, were watching in the 80s and into the 90s, you knew people for year after year after year after year. You knew the Georgetown Hoyas. You knew their stars. You knew North Carolina. You knew Duke. You knew, some players turned over after 3 or 4 years, but you knew them. You knew their programs. You knew their brands. You knew their coaches. Right. If I were to say to you of the 16 teams, well, not just you, I know you would know almost zero players other than Drew Timmy, who's been at Gonzaga for seemingly ever. Right. And even they, turn over their roster so much year after year. You just don't know them. So it's fun, but you really don't have that investment because you really don't know these teams. So that's on the bad side. On the other side, anybody beats anybody. I mean, everybody, this whole mid-major, can there be one Cinderella? Can there be one mid-major that comes out of this? Look at this.
Well, but has that taken away some of the value of the Cinderella when everybody can do it now?
I think that's a fair question, too. That would fall into the camp of it's never really been worse. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so watered down.
Like, 16 now beats turnover. One every year? Like, okay. Right. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, something we never saw for decade after decade after decade. Now we've seen twice in the last 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. Right, with a 1 beat and a 16, let alone a 2 and a 15 and a 3 and a 14. And, yeah, look at, it is Power 5 in college football. I mean, the disparity between the Sun Belt in college football and the SEC, quite telling. Even in the championship game, the disparity between the SEC and the Big 12, quite telling. In basketball, look at the teams that are left. Most teams, the SEC's got 3 in there, and so does the Big East.
Does the Big East still exist? I thought it was gone.
It's gone in football, but it exists in basketball. And, then look at where the rest of these teams are coming from. We've got the Ivy League with Princeton. You got the Mountain West. You've got the West Coast Conference, Conference USA, American Conference. You got as many in those conferences as you do the Pac-12 and the ACC and the Big Ten, each with all one. So I think that there's a story and a narrative that you could easily write saying this is just brutal.
Yeah.
This is not what I signed up for. And on the flip side, you could say this is amazing because truly it's
madness.
Which do
you think it is?
I think in this day and age that we want just instantaneous, and certainly the large swaths of the audience love the chaos and love the instantaneous and love the madness, I think probably falls more for this audience on that side of it. Mm. In our, for the guys in their 50s and 60s and above that remember the old days, I think they would clearly say, this is just a wander down. This is just not what it used to be.
That's sort of how I feel. I'm sorry. Yeah. I tried to get into it this weekend, and every time there was something else I wanted to watch more. Mm-hmm. I was like, maybe I'll watch some of the hoops. Nah, I'll watch the golf. Nah, I'll watch the WBC. I'll watch the Kraken. Like, I couldn't do it. I could not bring myself to get into it. It's not that I didn't try. Yep. I just really, really found that I struggled with it.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
All right, we got ranked coming up here in less than 15 minutes. Finish off our show. This hour is brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life. Good conversation with KJ Wright earlier at 8:30. If you missed that, you can go download it or subscribe wherever you get your podcast. And I do have some fun podcast reviews for you, Brock, which I'll read you here in a minute.
But I have some numbers as well on the March Madness.
Oh, look at you. All right. Well, good. We'll get to those here in a moment. I wanted to come back to KJ's question about Bobby. And unsurprisingly, KJ would really, really like Bobby Wagner back here in Seattle. And I understand why. And he points to, what did he call him? A walking Hall of Famer. And I get it. They're friends. And he sees Bobby Wagner as a dominant player. Why isn't Bobby here?
Why isn't Bobby anywhere? I mean, not just here. If you're a walking Hall of Famer, if you're a 99 rated, if you get the gold shoes, you should be wanted everywhere, right? I mean, that's how free agency works. That's how, you know, some of the guys with attention and hype and certainly a resume like that. And he's not been injured. This is not one of those situations like OBJ or a bunch of these guys, Mike, where now Bobby will be 33 into next season, but his body is not one that has been battered and missed games. He's done nothing but delivered. In fact, Pro Football Focus last year graded him as the highest graded middle linebacker.
So why isn't he signed?
I think, unfortunately, and this is just an assumption. I have not talked to people in front offices around the NFL. My assumption is he's overqualified in a bunch of spots. And he's certainly, A, overqualified, and B, is asking for a number and has earned a number. When you're a walking Hall of Famer that delivers 130 tackles and splash plays, this is my worth. This is my value. This is what I am not playing for on a prove it deal. I'm not playing for incentives. I'm not playing for peanuts. I'm Bobby Wagner. I'm a Hall of Famer. Pay me. And the market is saying, no.
But why is the market saying that? I think that's the crucial piece, because I agree with you. Bobby has you know, earned a certain salary and a respect in this league, but why doesn't the market value that?
Because that position is dependent. As even KJ Wright, when you forced him in a corner in your elite ways that you're capable of doing, was like, okay, you're right. Fine. Can't pay linebackers that, because they're dependent on the wash and the people in front of them.
So what do you do if you're Bobby? You're going to play for $3.5 million?
That's on Bobby Wagner.
Right. I can understand him if he was like, yeah, that's not worth it to me. I've made enough money in my career.
What did Levante David make? What did we end up seeing?
Like seven. 1 year, seven, I think was the number.
Seven or eight, somewhere around there.
I think it was seven.
So I that would be the number that I'm sure that people maybe even posed out there today.
But this is what I always come back to, is like, that's the number of what Tampa was willing to pay for an aging middle linebacker. That doesn't mean anybody else is willing to spend that same amount of money.
That's right.
Right? And especially Tampa was willing to do it to bring back a face of their franchise. In the Seahawks case, if they bring back Bobby, do they then need to go through the painful breakup a second time? Correct. Because eventually that's going to end again, whether it's after 1 year or five. And I do think that that's a cause for concern also. So
is it, though? I mean, they've done it with KJ Wright. They did it with Marshawn Lynch. I mean, they've been there and done it before with some of their great players.
True.
You know, so it's
very different, though. I mean, KJ signed a 1 day contract and Marshawn came back, but it was at the end. I mean, he was there was no leverage to what he was doing at that point.
I mean, this, I think, to a degree would be the end for Bobby in that regard.
But he didn't see it. Not at a $7 million a year contract. It's not. That's not a, hey, I'm playing out the string. Marshawn came in an emergency situation, minimum deal to help out. Mm-hmm. KJ came in for 1 day. That's not even a real contract. That's just a ceremonial thing. Bobby wants to come back and be their captain and middle linebacker.
Yep.
And I think that's a challenge, because I think what they want is youth and speed and cheap at that position to go out there, run and hit, and let the guys up front do a lot more of the work.
I think, unfortunately for Bobby, too, one other element of play is the rest of the league is going, why would Seattle not sign him back?
Mm.
And why did the Rams, after that year of productivity, why would the Rams? Now, the Rams fire sold a lot of players. But I think the rest of the league, right, would kind of deem that to a degree and go, I wonder why they're not throwing big money, right? I mean, that's just kind of how the market works. The market is what the market is willing to pay. And for Bobby Wagner right now, that number is not obviously what he wants. And will that turn? Will he wait for after the draft? That's the other challenge for him, Salk, is this is a linebacker crew, while not loaded in the top 10, is pretty loaded, 15 through 50, right? You've got Butkus Award winners running 4.6 and jumping 37 at 6.5 and 250. You've got, you know, Drew Sanders down at Arkansas. You've got Trenton Simpson at Clemson. You've got kids out of Alabama to Oto. You've got a bunch of guys.
They can run. And I think at this stage, that's probably very important to the Seahawks and a lot of other teams at that position. Now, the other thing KJ said, Brock, that I don't think you're going to agree with at all is what the Seahawks could or should do at number five.
I'm not opposed to that. And when you look at the contract, it makes sense for both parties. Hey, Geno, you had a phenomenal year, but your body of work, you've only done it for one productive season. So it makes complete sense. If you play well, then we bring you back for year two. And so we are sitting there at number five, and their guy is there, in particular the quarterback from Florida. I do believe that the Seahawks could potentially make that pick. He's a young guy. He's fast, got a cannon for an arm. He can learn from Geno in his rookie year, and then he just takes off from there in year two. And so I'm intrigued to see what they do with it.
Yeah, I don't know if KJ knows that they gave Drew almost $2 million signing bonus. I don't know. I don't know if that changes it or not, or maybe he just says, no, that's fine. You need a backup, and Drew can be there, but you still are going to find room for a talent like him to grow and develop. Now, I don't disagree with KJ as he went on further going, you know what? You could immediately carve out a role for him. Here's the problem. You're going to have three quarterbacks on your active roster. Teams don't do that in this day and age. They just don't. With the numbers game and everything else you need on offense and defense and special teams, you know, are you going to really have guy in that position?
Maybe, or maybe the Eagles proposal goes through, whoever it is. I think it was the Eagles who proposed it, to have a third quarterback be part of the roster this year.
And they should. I'll tell you this, it'll be a great debate. And I'm going to give a little shout out to Shauna right now down at Evereve listening. Mm-hmm. Yep. Shauna, I know you're listening, and she may have an opinion on the fifth pick in the draft with Anthony Richardson. Mike over in Spokane, I know he's listening right now. And that's the great thing about this.
Some
draft.
Folks that you met over the weekend or something?
Just some shout outs.
Just some shout outs.
Yeah, to some great listeners.
Wow.
Right, that somehow, some way, tune into you and I for some reason. I don't know if it's your eliteness, your word. I don't know if it's me saying things like acapello instead of acapella.
That was a highlight today.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah, I met some people this weekend too. I was starting to think about whether or not I should also shout out people like you were doing, but I didn't want to be in competition with you.
Why not?
I don't know. Like, it's sort of your thing. Like, I met this guy Jack, who was very nice. Came up to me at the driving range.
Jack
and I had a nice talk, and he's listened to us in England. He's listened to us here, etc. Super nice guy, a big fan of Bumpin' Stacy. He was talking about how much he likes he really enjoyed Stacy coming on to do the Vanderpump Rules 75 seconds. Mm. Said that he brought his girlfriend over to listen to all that. So,
Justin, you met some listeners this weekend too, right?
I did.
Shout outs feel good.
I met a Danny at a birthday party. What's up, Danny?
Is there a weekend where Justin doesn't meet new people?
Yeah.
So you have a problem with shout outs, but you don't have a problem reading our Apple reviews.
No, and I got some interesting ones here. Would you like to hear some recent Apple podcast reviews? Still at a 4.6, and unfortunately, I seem to be the biggest problem, which is funny because on the Mike Salk show, we're still at a 4.7. And right. Yet somehow I bring down the average on this one. So I don't understand how all that
works.
But
there's a big difference. There's one that has like 10 reviews and one that has 10 million.
No, that's not true. I mean, this has 1,600, so it's certainly a lot. The Mike Salk show did okay in terms of numbers.
It sure did. 4.7.
Let me read to you some recent ones. Neo Soul 12. It's great show. Seattle native, now residing in Southern California. Your show helps fill my need for entertaining Seattle sports talk. Thanks for all that you do. 5 stars. And thank you. That's on Apple Podcast. If you want to subscribe, that would be helpful. We like continuing to grow. Brock, I thought you would like this one. This is a 4-star review from C. Morioka 83. Brock and Dooley. Love Brock and Mora. Both sensible and realistic, with good observation and great input on Seattle sports matters. I find that you can agree with them. So I give 2 stars for each, for a total of 4 stars for the show overall. Salk counts as -1, preventing a 5-star.
Oh, no.
I track with him off and on, but I'm confused by his points half the time. They don't make sense, and it can be hard to listen, and ranked as lame. Though I will say, often a good show requires a sensible guy and a slightly nonsensible guy for the sake of argument and discussion. Let me know when it's the Brock and Dooley show. That's a 5-star. So here's my question, though. I'm going to take a little issue with
Morioka.
Well, I'm going to take a little issue with Morioka's math.
Yes.
If Brock counts for 2 and Mora counts for 2, that's 4. And if Mike is -1, that would be 3. So maybe the reason Seymour Ioka, 83, is so confused by my points is that they're not very bright. In fact, they can't do math.
Whoa.
I don't care. I like to be annoying. Just kind of throwing it out there. Seawill, 1972, great show. I have listened through three states. I live in Arizona now, and I'll continue as long as you two go on. Simply the best. Matty Fats says, expanded my show perception. The show is so good. It's so good. Starting out as only a Seahawk fan, I've now become a big Mariners fan because of the great conversation required to make baseball worth following all season. Great job, Brock and Salk. Thanks, Matty Fats. Perk Dunks says, Salk said I should. Seattle native, living in Portland. Brock and Salk make me feel like home. Now, the real G1.0.
Give me a good one.
G Scott is terrible. Brock is good. Salk is okay. But when you have Joe Fan on, it's awful. And even worse when it's G. I literally turn off the radio and sit in silence so I don't have to listen. That seems unnecessary. Another, I approve of that. Let's see. Turbo Dog, one star. Just saying. Love Mora. Like Justin. Brock's just okay. And Salk, ugh. Did I read you the one about the dimness retreat? Salk seems like he would be a great neighbor. Justin seems like he would be a great friend.
All right.
Mora seems like she'd be a great coworker. And Brock seems like he would be great at all those things, but only for about 45 minutes.
Very good. Very good.
Well, I don't know why I would make a good neighbor. I don't really talk to my neighbors if I can help out. I don't know what I would make. Maybe that's what makes me a good neighbor.
I kind of like that in a neighbor.
Hey, I got some March Madness numbers.
Okay, please do, because I'm out of podcast reviews. So please go subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or just at SeattleSports.com. We'd appreciate it, and maybe drop us a 5-star review.
Off the charts, by the way. When it comes to March Madness, the Thursday, Friday. Sheesh. I think they're still gathering Saturday, Sunday, but Thursday, Friday, nearly 10 million. Absolutely, you know, just bonkers. Just people can't get enough of it.
Good.
People like chaos. People like the brackets being busted. I think there's, I don't know, unison or community in the fact that everybody's largely been and seen their favorites and their brackets busted, other than Alabama and Houston, the two number one seeds. And boy, a lot of paths right now point to Bama having the easiest path there, but for Gonzaga fans, certainly a bunch of excitement. For chaos, a bunch of excitement. And for the younger audience, Salk and Taylor watched every game, and Mora watched every game, and it was must-see TV for most.
Good. Love it. Good. Nice job, everybody. Well played.
Good job, team.
Go nice team. Job, team. Let's go. Time for ranked.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dornfors' house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Yeah, top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
What's so funny?
Way to go, team.
Go, team. Go, team, go. Let's watch some hoops. I am an elitist. Oh, man. Today is what, Justin?
Earth Day.
Earth Day. You knew that, Brock, of course. Today is Earth Day. And with that in mind...
You know what it is. Today's the first day of spring.
It is?
Today's the first day
of spring. How come it's like 12 degrees and raining?
I don't know.
Oh, because it's Seattle.
Earth Day is April 22nd. Today's the first day of spring.
Wait, today's not even Earth Day?
It's not Earth Day.
You told me it was Earth Day, which is why we're ranking Earth.
I didn't say it was Earth Day.
Yes, you did.
No, we were talking.
I thought that's what you said, too.
No, because we were talking about we're trying to rank classics for World Baseball Classic.
Dude, you said today was Earth Day.
No, I didn't. I said today was the first day of spring.
Maura, look what you did.
Then
we would have ranked. We would have done Springs ranked.
We can't. We've done that.
We already did Springs.
I swore I thought I heard you say it was Earth Day, too.
No.
Well, in any event, we're ranking Earth today. Earth ranked. Doing it a little ahead of time, just because you guys probably won't do this without me on Wednesday. So here you go. Earth ranked. We just had this for Move the other day.
Hey, I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down.
It's a good song, man. Carole King.
It's a good song. That, yeah. What was the other one that you used for last week?
Moves. Moves ranked.
Boy, you two are out of sorts when it comes to ranks.
That's too much college basketball.
I just thought today was Earth Day. I was all ready to celebrate.
No, because we were talking about World Baseball Classic, and then we were like, oh, Earth.
No, you said it was Earth Day.
Earth Day is next month, April 22nd.
That's what I said, Earth 22nd.
You think I would have just made that up?
Earth Angel, Earth Angel.
All right, Brock, question for you. What 80s movie does this song feature?
Oh, wow. Boom goes the dynamite.
Wow. Anybody shocked by that?
Don't come at me.
I'm shocked.
Not in my house.
Nice job.
I thought you were too busy watching film to watch movies.
Wow. Good job, buddy.
My buddy Jamie Waltier sang that awful for his solo in choir.
That doesn't surprise
me. For Mrs. Burroughs, bless his heart.
Speaking of movies, Brock, John Travolta was in and I think produced Battlefield Earth.
And I can't sing either, by the way. I love you, Waltier. That's why we got along so well.
David Bowie had The Man Who Fell to Earth. Jaden and Will Smith did After Earth.
Yep. Do you have any friends growing up that were great singers? Luke Hewer, great singer. Karaoke star.
No. Truly. I went to high school with Rachel Platten, who ended up becoming a big-time singer.
Big time.
But I don't say I was friends with her as a kid.
Okay.
No.
Grew up, no.
No, no, no.
Austin Jenks. I was buddies with him from like 18, 19 on, and he's pretty good. He's on The Voice.
Bob Stone, great singer.
Yes, Bob Stone,
pretty good singer. Yeah, probably the best singer I know.
Loves beats.
Earth Girls Are Easy, Brock. I know you remember that one. And Journey to the Center of the Earth. Perhaps you've seen The Day the Earth Stood Still. Mm-hmm. Or the Will Forte TV show a couple years ago, Last Man on Earth. No? Nothing?
Nope.
Did you like that, by the way?
I liked the first season, and then I kind of gave up. Yeah. It felt a little repetitive.
You and Taylor talked about that.
First couple episodes were tremendous.
You thinking something seems repetitive during this segment is rich.
That's a little Duran Duran for you.
Speaking of Taylor, he might remember one of the best old goofy video games from, I think, Sega, Earthworm Jim. That was fun to play.
Earthworm?
You got it? All right,
Taylor. I don't know Earthworm Jim.
No. Earthworm Jim.
How about, Justin, I know you put this one on there. How did you get to me?
No one else on earth. I knew Brock would know it. Winona, baby.
Impressive. I'm sure Taylor would know this from Space Jam.
Greetings, Earth Rings. We have now taken over your radio.
Love this song.
What's that from?
That's from Space Jam.
Space Jam soundtrack.
Space Jam.
Speaking of greetings, Earthlings, you can go Outcast.
Greetings, Earthlings.
Two dope boys and a Cadillac.
Okay.
Pretty great song. So,
just got a text if you ever visited Perth.
Perth like that, in Australia? No, never been to Perth, but if you're looking for a pun and you want us to throw one on here, don't worry. I do have Santa Baby by...
Santa Baby, just slip a sable under the tree.
That would be Brock.
For me.
Eartha Kitt.
Oh, of course.
Eartha.
Been an awful good girl.
She had to be on this
Santa
list somewhere.
Santa Baby.
Who's looking for a pun?
George Harrison did Give Me Love, Give Me Peace on Earth.
Yeah.
Tears for Fears did Last Days of Earth. The Doors did Not to Touch the Earth. Jefferson Starship did Earth, the album.
Speaking of Perth,
yeah.
Do you remember PJ Carlissimo's Seton Hall Pirates playing Michigan in the Final Four? They had a player from Perth, Australia. Why that sticks in my brain? No idea.
Don't know that.
No.
The more you know.
Time for the top five here, Brock. Are you ready for the top five? Number five, Rare Earth.
I just want to celebrate.
That's a great song.
Yes.
One Hit Wonder, Rare Earth, I Just Want to Celebrate.
Okay.
You don't know that song?
I know that song.
I mean, it's always in commercials and stuff. Like, that's a song I think most people should know.
Even at wedding receptions.
Number four.
Blinded by the light. Red up like a douche. Another rubber in the night.
And you know why this one's on there, right, Brock? Because that is by... Manfred Mann's
Darn it.
Earth Band.
Ah.
That would be Manfred Mann's Earth Band.
Ah.
Almost at it.
Yeah, they got the one with Back to the Future. That was the only one.
But that was good. I was glad he got that one.
These are just one show hits. Come on. Or are you going to tell me
Manfred Mann had a couple of you. Do what, Diddy?
Okay.
More than one album? I mean, Manfred Mann was a big deal for a little while.
It's a bad band name.
Manfred Mann's Earth Band? The dude's name is Manfred Mann.
Do you need to go by your full name and add something else to it?
You think Manfred Mann's his birth name?
George Thorogood.
I think it actually is. M-A-N-N.
I'm going to check this out.
You can go check it out. Number three.
Good song.
And that is Brock?
Don't know.
Belinda Carlisle.
Ah.
Who was the lead singer of?
Yep.
Nothing?
I'm busy looking up man for man, all right? Jeez.
It's not the Indigo Girls, no. Goodness. It'd be the Go-Go's. Belinda Carlisle. Close.
I was going to say the Bangles.
That's Susanna Hoff.
That's a pretty good guess, yeah. Though.
Very similar. There's a lot in common there, but that's Susanna Hoff. This is Belinda Carlisle from the Go-Go's. Good guess. Very close. Very close. Where are we on? Number two.
Earth, wind, and fire.
Wow. Number two.
All right. Why are you saying, wow, that's not the words?
Nobody knew the band.
That's the band, Laura. No, I don't know the words. I don't know about the words.
At least he figured out it was Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I've been waiting. I've been sitting on that for about five different guesses.
That was the first one you thought of?
Was I knew, yeah. I knew.
Brock, we know what number one is.
Yes, of course we do.
What?
Not Pearl of Earth. Not Opal
Blue
of Earth.
Blue of Earth? She doesn't make this list.
What?
Oh, not even what? Honorable mention.
You're
for
obsessed
girl
with
Blue?
Her. How did she what? Make your list?
What? What?
I'm shocked.
You're shocked?
In the Asiatic Ocean?
Take every opportunity.
Ocean.
The Asiatic Ocean?
You take every Are opportunity you can to play Blue of Earth.
The Eagle Medicine. So, if you were to give yourself one archetype that you feel like you represent currently.
Yeah, we can get blasted out to the ethers and you can receive Christ consciousness codes and see the potential of the human experience.
She can't be
and
in
dive
the top
and
five.
Swim through the water
with that,
to the Akashic Ocean.
She's a nut.
Akashic Ocean.
Number
Akashic
one.
Ocean. This is Planet Earth 2.
David Attenborough.
The great David Attenborough.
The existence of creatures like these so far from the nearest continent poses many questions.
So good.
And you like to think maybe that's like pretty easy, right? Maybe, you know, that's the kind of thing anybody can do. But it's not, because if you ever heard Benedict Cumberbatch try to be a host of one of those shows, it's not as easy as it sounds.
Is penguins, crested penguins, parent penguin heading home.
I could listen to Benedict Cumberbatch attempt to pronounce penguins forever and never get bored of it. All right. Thank you. Blue of Earth, Planet Earth, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Sorry, Blue of Earth.
Earth Day. A month from Earth.
Today's Earth Day, isn't it? Okay. Oh, happy Earth Day.
To be fair, it's going to be on a Saturday, so.
We're going to celebrate it, so this is it.
Happy Earth Day. Great job, everybody. Well done on Earth Day today.
Go team.
Go team, go. Watch the tournament. Celebrate
That's
Earth Day.
That's who I'm rooting for.
All right, I'm out of here. I'll tell you what. Today's been a disaster. I'm going to take a week off. I'll see you guys next week. I'm out. The haze. Where? Oh, there it is. See you, everybody.
Get to the chopper!